Hi, I'm Dr. Safiya, the medical doctor who doubles as an email marketing expert. In here, I take you behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. You get to see what these amazing individuals have tried that worked and didn't work in email marketing. If you've been curious and like me, you want to know what other people out there are really doing in email marketing, then join me as I go behind. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Email Marketing Experiment. I'm super excited for today's episode because we have something very different, something very unique. We have a former musician turned web developer, agency founder, and more, now a business marketing consultant. And he has a very unique and interesting take. One offer, one post, one email daily that has led to one times 220K per month, that's $20,000 per month lifestyle business. He has served 254 plus clients, 2,000 plus customers, $1 million made, 4.1 million plus in client sales. And the only thing he says, learn how. And then the sprinkling or the icing on the cake is he says, I have made $1 million plus with Google Docs, the Google Docs that we use for writing, and he helps people do the same. Hello, Jacob. I'm super excited to have you on the call. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you, Aya. It was very, very nice. And thank you for the brilliant intro. It's awesome to be here.
Welcome, welcome. So let me get, you love watermelon religiously. I want to know, how did that come about?
I don't normally tell people the secret behind this, but since it's you, we're going to open up and say the truth. You know, when we were growing up, I'm sure you also recognize characters like Popeye, who had spinach, and Harry Potter, who had Quidditch and his, you know, wand, or Super Mario, who had the mushrooms. So we remember all of those things because they drew us into a universe. And, you know, as marketing evolved, I just realized, do you want to sound the same or do you want to build your own universe that people come to? So a lot of people may know Sri Lanka for their mangoes, right? Or Asia for their rice, or Africa for their lions, for example. In Cyprus, where I am from, the golden fruit is watermelon. It was in my fridge since I grew up. I eat it all the time. I absolutely love it. And it was the most obvious thing alongside things like Pokemon. You know, I've got a Pokemon mug right here. My San Pellegrino water. Like the most obvious things that are around us just so happened to be I was obsessed with watermelon growing up. So in my universe, the most obvious thing that's always around me is that fruit. So when I went online, I started saying, this is what I love. And people were like, what is wrong with you? I just, instead of explaining it, I kept it as a secret so they can keep coming back to understand what it is. And as a business coach, as a marketing coach, I refer to money, which is the outcome that my clients get, as watermelon. We're going to print some more watermelon. And people go nuts, especially on LinkedIn, where I grew my audience, because they're like, I don't understand why this guy talks about watermelon every day, until you do. So that's sort of the long and short of it.
And you'll be super excited on LinkedIn because everybody expects you to be, you know, super professional and all of that. And here you are talking about watermelon. But the important thing is that watermelon is leading to something that a lot of people want, but they don't know that the watermelon is part of it. Or now yeah. I have a question. You say you're building a lifestyle business. What does that mean?
That's a great question because for me, I came from the agency background and all of that and had a team and, you know, even before that had a 9-to-5 as many people do. And through the process of building this modern maker model, I always wanted to start a family. And, you know, now I've had a daughter who's now 6 months old and all of that. And I was like, you know, I see all my friends locally as well. They're very senior in their positions. They work their 9-to-5. That's it. And I was like, that's a bit boring. Like, I have to wait till Friday and clock off on Sunday. Why can't every day be what I want it to be? Why can't I create my own life? Why do I have to depend on other people? Now, this isn't for everyone, but for me, lifestyle isn't the crazy Lamborghinis in Bali and the 5-star hotels and the luxury, even though that works for other people. For me, it meant, can I have a model or a business that allows me to be a present dad, that allows me to work on my own terms when I want to work, that also allows me to sort of have freedom of my own calendar versus having to, you know, work for somebody else. And that was fundamentally what I call a lifestyle business, right? Like, I take Wednesdays and Fridays off. I work Tuesdays and Thursdays. Only take calls on those days because I created that, right? I can be a present dad every Wednesday and Friday and have nothing to do other than be a dad, or have a weekend when I wanted to, travel when I want to. And that to me was a lot more important than, you know, the cars and the status and those sorts of games. So lifestyle can mean whatever you want it to be. To me, it was to be the dad I didn't have, to be the husband that I wanted to be, and to do what I want when I want on my terms. So, yeah.
I mean, I really love how you defined it for yourself and how you're working towards it, especially coming from the fact that, you know, you were in LA, you were, you know, playing jazz, and you have like such a rich history, and you got to work with like interesting sports brands. So it's not like you weren't doing great. Then you built your own agency, hired, I think, up to like 12 people before you got here. Right. So it's such a transition. Do you mind giving us like just a brief part of that history?
Sure, sure. So in short, I picked up a suitcase and I went to Los Angeles because I always wanted to play jazz and rock. And I was in a psychedelic rock group growing up. You see the guitars, they're still with me in a different setting. Went to LA, then did London and all of that. In LA, I was living with five Mexicans at the time who were doing things that we don't want to talk about today. But I was sort of like, okay, I was introduced to this new world, and they were buying whatever they were buying with something called Bitcoin. So I was like, what is this Bitcoin thing? What is this blockchain thing? What is all of that? And I dabbled into the world of software, ended up switching my degree from music to like management technology, got my master's at UCL in London. And I became obsessed with creating programs and softwares and websites and, you know, still creative and still played music, but transitioned into that and was working in other agencies building websites, right? Like still building things. I nowadays internalize it as the same way you built songs, right? With chords and notes. You were building platforms with code and structure. But then I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I had it in me. So in 2018, I pulled the plug. I told my boss, I love you and everything. It's been great, but I'm going to start my own agency. So I started Mojo. Mojo comes from the Doors song, LA Woman. If you guys know the Doors, there's a line by Jim Morrison that says, Mr. Mojo rising, gotta keep on rising. So that became the name of the agency. So the rock spirit was always around. But the agency turned me into somebody I didn't want to be. I was a creator at heart who did business. And there was a point where I became a business owner trying to create. So what do I mean by that? I was developing, I was designing initially, I had a lot of fun. And then when I scaled the team to 12 people, I ended up delegating, project managing, closing sales, doing all of this in my world, boring stuff. And I convinced myself I no longer had to design and code and create because other people would do what I used to do, until I realized, why can you not be the creator? Who's stopping you? Right? And I used to go to bed at night with a full bank account, with a full, you know, business, employees and all, unhappy. So I decided to do what people called me crazy for and burn it to the ground and go and do what the heart wanted to do, which was create. In this case, write posts, write emails, do what my heart wanted to do from the music days, which was write lyrics, but this time actually write emails and posts and content and teach people how to do that. People to this day, even my wife and my parents are like, you proved us wrong. And they thought I was absolutely nuts for pulling the trigger, but I had to, because we only get one round at this life, right? So it was either go for the money or go for alignment. And it was the first time ever I chose alignment. And there was a level of conviction in me that said, you're somehow going to make this work. So over the last 4 years, I would say, I dialed in Modern Maker, my model, my program, got online, everything I was doing at the agency for clients, writing emails, writing posts, ghostwriting, blah, 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 did for myself and grew my LinkedIn to 50,000 followers, my email list to 5,000 followers.
Wow.
But basically, I had the vision of the model and the lifestyle. And I was like, okay, why don't you do it? Turn the little, you know, imaginative picture into a reality. And I think for me, the most important thing was I was living without a vision, just living as everybody else does, waiting for Friday, waiting for Saturday, going back on Monday. But the moment I had a vision, everything started to form, like reverse engineer backwards. What do I need to do to make this a reality? So that is the story. And since then, like you read, I've helped over 300 people build Modern Maker style businesses with one post, one email, and one offer a day.
Love it. And now we're about to go into one post, one email, and one offer a day. I mean, we all gave the rule of one, but I feel like this is the rule of one on steroid because one across three different, you know, categories. But before we do that, it's confession time. And so you have to do, we've made it like tradition here. So we have open rates confession where you tell us your worst or biggest email marketing mistake. It could be something that made you question your abilities in email marketing or cringe. Or, I mean, some people, it's nearly moved them to tears and, you know, got them hiding out for a bit. What's yours?
Great question. I always tell this story and we laugh at it. I think you've seen me talk about my cats and dogs online plenty, right? I've got three dogs and three cats, and they're all over there in the living room. But email marketing convention, if we look at e-commerce and all of that, was very direct response, right? Like get the sale, do the discount, do that, whatever. Some of the people that I was following over time, you know, like Gary Halbert or Ben Settle and these sort of like, you know, the people we look up to would write stories and get people through. So I would write stories about the agency guy, right? Not so much the life stories until one day I was like, I'm going to risk it and talk about something completely bonkers, which is me scooping up dog poop because I live with dogs, my dog farting. And I'm going to try and make some money with that. The same way I was pulling triggers before. I'm like, I really wonder what people are going to say. And if it's a mistake, it's going to be a mistake. It's going to be the biggest one ever. But I was like, I want to show more of who I am. I'm a bit of a humorous dude. I like my, you know, wit. So I wrote an email about how I banished my dog's fart and how it absolutely stunk and this and that and, you know, the chaos that surrounded it and how we opened it up. And that email got a lot of hate. They were like, dude, what the hell is wrong with you? What am I just reading? Blah, blah, blah. And for the first few 15, 20 minutes, I was just like, oh my God, what did you do? Why did you do that? There was a gut feeling telling you not to do it. Cut long story short, that email on that day made $8,000. And it was an awakening moment for me because I felt really bad when I got those responses and I continued to do so. But what does Ben Settle say? You got to have haters, right? And if you don't have haters, it's not a good enough brand. But it was the first time I actually experienced like the middle finger straight at you and 8K in sales. So I was like, I mean, it's a mistake in conventional email marketing terms, but it wasn't. It was actually the best door that I could have opened because talking about my dog's fart was the realization that you can talk about anything. And actually what happens is people got to know me better, started asking me my dog's name and how many others and what else I do. And in a sea, especially now, of AI-driven content, email storytelling in this format, not necessarily the dogs and stuff, but being able to talk about your lifestyle and what your interests are, your values, your philosophies, your opinions, get people to either love you or hate you, but the ones who love you rave about you. So it was a mistake, quote unquote, but it really helped me dial down who you want to show up as. But on the contrary, people were like, everybody's so serious. This guy's just literally sharing the raw, untold life that he's living. And it just so happens to be that I have three dogs and three cats, and these are our adventures. So yeah, don't know if I would call it a mistake, but it was a realization point for me 3 years ago.
I'm just curious, did it get you like a ton of unsubscribes?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I make the same mistake. Like right now, as we're talking, I'm doing a launch, and the launch email was Eminem's Lose Yourself lyrics to open the launch. Because I just want people to be like, what is going on here? And I still get some subscribes. You know, but I care less about the unsubscribes and more about the fans that are going to follow for years to come.
Yeah, yeah. Very important. All right. I think that's really great that, I mean, it started with like the, why did I do this? Why did I do that? And then it ended up turning into a whole realization that has changed like how you do email marketing today. So let's get into this modern maker lifestyle. Let's get into this system you have built that has led to, you know, will I say like all the accolades? So one post, one email, and one offer. Every single day about the same time, I get an email from you. I read some, but not all of them. But I think what hits me the most is the consistency. It's not your how to do this or this. I made this for my clients. It's something like the guilt that almost killed my creativity. Why my calendar is empty, but my business is full. What's LeBron Apple? So it's just random thing. Are you building meal or me? Like, I'm like, what's going on here? You know? You even had one that said, God personally DM'd me to tone it down. Why Tito Dan would buy? It's not the usual. So tell us about this framework.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're in email marketing, you know, you have to grow your list somehow, whether it's organically or with paid ads or whatever. There's a lot of people who talk about the email a day lifestyle. The reality of it is to get to that, you have to work or pay to play, right? So for me, the biggest realization was telling the truth, right? I had an audience of 50,000 people. I had to grow it, right? Somehow. I had to show up and post once a day. I've been doing that once a day for 4 years now, my fourth year going, and it grew to 50,000 followers. I could have had 100,000. I could have had whatever. It doesn't matter. But I chose to write middle of the funnel type posts, build a community, because I'm there not to be an influencer, but to build a business, right? So I chose LinkedIn because it was the easiest platform to write on. I used to be on Facebook, but as a text person, not a video guy, it was easier to pick a platform that was closest to email as my top of funnel. So by writing one post per day, 7 days a week, some of them were scheduled, twice a week, I would ask you to get on my email list, right? Stick on link in there. And then I was like, why not ask them every day? So every day on LinkedIn, I asked people to get on my email list at the bottom of the post, in the comments, somewhere, you know, I'm like, just get on. So that's an offer every single day. So for 365 days in a year, I'm offering you to get on my email list. Number two, we get on my email list and I have a lot of things to sell you, right? Because I'm running a business, I've got assets, templates, services, this, that, whatever. So I write stories because I believe the value days are over. You can GPT anything you want. You can get information on Google, on Perplexity, on ChatGPT, on Claude. Like, information is abundant. But insight is scarce. Because insight comes from your lived experience. It comes from the lessons that you learn. My theory is like, you've seen the TikTokers, right? They'll do like an ice bucket challenge for 30 days. Yeah. And you keep showing up every day.
Yeah.
So watch the same guy jump in a cold tub because he's going to say something different. Because he's going to scream differently. Because he's going to have a different story this morning. Because this creates a Netflix protagonist type vibe where it's such a recent event, such a recent lived experience that I want to follow the main character. That's why my emails are so story driven and put my audience on a value diet, because I don't need to give you the value if you can find it. All I need to do is give you the story and the insight so you can see how I'm going about it. Therefore, what you were reading earlier was hooks, right? If I can hook you in, I'm notoriously known as the subject line guy in the email world because I know how to create predictably unpredictable. You don't know what I'm going to do next. And that's the point, right? So then on those very short 200-word story-driven emails, I'm going to make you an offer. I've got a story, I've got a lesson, I'm going to pivot, and I'm going to make you an offer. Those stories are at the intersection of what I do in business and who I am in life. So there's a mixture of cats and dogs and husband and daughter and music and running, because that's who I am. And then there's business and copy and emails and offers and students, because that's what I do. So I rotate around a low-ticket offer and a high-ticket offer. 4 weeks in a month, two of those weeks I'm going to do a low-ticket offer, two of those weeks I'm going to do a high-ticket offer. And all of those days, I'm going to say something unpredictable, predictably. So, and if I can make that offer, I'm living the one email a day lifestyle, but truthfully, you need to fill up your email because you get unsubscribes. So you got to post once a day. You got to write once a day to convert. And you also got to make an offer every day. And the more offers you make, the more offers you can make because people ask questions, people buy, people unsubscribe, and you just keep going. So the big thing for me was building an audience. An audience, the influencer way is just a bunch of followers. But when you build an audience of buyers, that becomes your biggest asset. And my role fundamentally is take my online assets, make sales, and turn them into offline assets, whether that's property, something like that, right? So treat your audience as an asset. Stop thinking of things to do. Start thinking of assets to leverage. Because having 50,000 followers today, I can leverage that, right? Having 5,000 email subscribers today, I can leverage that to build the lifestyle of the one post, one email, one offer a day.
I'm super excited for this conversation because it's, I don't say it defies all the rules. So there are always different schools of thoughts. I have people who say one email a day and they leave it. And there are the other people that is like, if you're sending me one email a day, I'm going to unsubscribe because they can't comprehend how, you understand, you are sending them an email. They feel like you're spamming them. And then there are some people that are like, oh, they don't want the whole one email a day, but for a few people, they can bear it because of the culture and community the person has built. And that's just what it is like you have shared. Now, the thing is, two things come to mind. You're making them an offer every day, and you're telling them a story every single day. So you said story, lesson, pivot, offer, right? So that means every email has a story. So how do you choose which stories to tell and which stories suit the offer best, right? Mm-hmm. Because I tend to also like teach people email marketing, and you hear things like, I don't want to share too much. I'm not comfortable sharing that. And then on the other hand, it's like, but how do I know what stories to tell? Sometimes I break it into categories, but now we're talking about sharing your own personal stories. Mm-hmm. So how do you know which stories to tell and which one suits the offer that you want to make?
Yeah, great question here. So for me, I would say, maybe this is just a belief of mine, but the closer you get to your online avatar as your offline avatar, us right now in this moment that we're sharing, the easier it is to show up. Why do I have to wear a mask online and not share what's going on versus amplifying it or pretending to be something or hiding something? If this is the truth and I'm okay sharing it, it makes my email writing experience better because that's what happened today, right? Like, yesterday, my daughter and wife, we went to get her a passport. So I'm going to talk about that because that is what happened on the life side of things. Or I wrote an email that flopped, and here's a lesson, and I'm going to write about it. And both of these things happen in the same day. Both of them cover who I am and what I do. Therefore, if I write about these two things, but our recent event, it's much easier for me to come up with emails to rent. Now, how they link to an offer, some people will say they have to link. So then you're forcing yourself to link that to an offer. It doesn't need to, and that's okay. Otherwise, you end up like those LinkedIn bros who are like, hey, I just got married. Here's what it taught me about B2B sales. And you're like, bro, come on, just tell us you got married without the B2B sales versus you picking out what is in your audit. So for me, I treat it as a percentage. I'm like, 70% of the time, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. So the stories are business related. Naturally, we're doing a podcast episode right now. I've got a client call after. I'm going to have a workshop after. So my weekdays are occupied by stories in business that tie to these offers, right? Otherwise, I wouldn't be there. But 30% of the time, I don't want to be the boring business guy, right? There's so much more to it. So I'm going to share the life side. And both of them have offers on the bottom. If I do either or, then I'm too businessy or I'm too influencery. The intersection of both is, I call it, you design the moment. We cannot control when our client decides to buy and go fetch their wallet. But what we can engineer or design is the moment that's going to happen. By hitting them with lifestyle, hitting them with business, who I am, what I do, who I am, what I do, until you start to buy. I found it so much more freeing to do that because I don't create content, I collect content from things that already happened. It's like a mad scientist, right? Like, I tried this, I'm going to do that. This failed, this didn't, and I'm simply collecting insight and the lived experience I'm telling you about it. I don't have to copy anyone. I don't have to have a swipe file. I just have to live and collect what happened yesterday, today, a week ago, a month ago.
Oh, wow. I feel like this is super interesting, right? The concept of collecting. So just out of curiosity, do you like have a journal or some way you like keep notes of what you're doing each day so that it's easier to just go back and say, okay, these are the things, and then you just use that for the content, or you just do like the ones you remember you use for the emails?
Yeah, I mean, I've got this notepad here. I use Google Keep. I don't know if you've heard about it. I have, it's right here. Really simple one-liners. Yeah. I'm gonna focus. I call it a story bank. And if I just read some out, I have one-liner things to trigger my memory. Like this week, there was a lady in a car who screamed, "You don't have a torch." So I wrote it down. That's what happened, right? I have another one that said, "I helped grow an email list to 20,000 followers for a crypto startup. There's some swallows outside the door building a nest." Right. And I just keep track of these things. And when I have something to sell, I then look at this story bank and then go, what am I going to write about? And it's as simple as that. No crazy system, no, you know, plan ahead. I'm just like, I have four or five little stories. Ideally, I have more than seven because I write an email a day and I pick something out of there.
Wow. So awesome. Really? Simplicity. The fact that it's so simple, you just make the notes, you write the email.
Yeah.
I love that you have a system in place to be able to like make it happen, because that's a place where sometimes people struggle. So I have another question in the sense that you're also making an offer every day. So you said 2 weeks a low ticket offer, 2 weeks a high ticket offer. And so I'm wondering, low ticket offer, high ticket offer, you're making an offer every day. One thing I realized at some point in my own journey was when you were making like an offer or the same offer. So this is like two weeks. So it changes, but it's running for like 2 weeks, so 14 days. Sometimes people get tired of it, or more like fatigue. So it's like they know what it is you want to sell them. So they are not like maybe clicking the link because it's like they've already seen it the last time. So I actually call it like offer fatigue. So how do you, you know, handle the fact that you're making an offer every day and people may already know that this is the offer that you're making, and so it's like they've heard of it before?
Amazing. So I teach this concept of bundling and unbundling inside Modern Maker, where a lot of people don't understand the difference between an offer and a product. What you just described, if I'm not mistaken, is people will make the same offer for the same product every day and create fatigue. But let's say I've got this mug that I want to sell, right? And then I've got this Mr. Bean keyring that I want to sell. These are two individual products. Now I can wrap this in a gift wrapper and I can wrap this in a gift wrapper. And I have two offers that have two products. I can also put them together, wrap them both together and have a bundle, which is another offer of the same two products. I can also look inside the mug and there's some coffee grains, take them out and have Teddy, mug, and coffee grains as another offer with three different products. Then I can sell the coffee grains with this guy, coffee grains with this guy. And I've just created five different offers with three different products. So the products can remain the same, but the way you package them creates different offers. So when we look at something like a coaching program or an email service, right? In my coaching container, I have one-on-one calls. I have weekly group calls. I have assets, right? Templates, videos, all of that. I can unbundle the one-on-one calls and create an offer from my existing product, right? I can also unbundle little template and create other offers. So for me, it is a process of bundling and unbundling your core product into multiple different offers. Change the names, change the package, change the variables. For example, coaching can be 12 months. You change it to 6 months or 3 months or 30 days, even though it's the same coaching, it's a very different offer this time. And some people will buy 12 months, other people buy 30 days, other people will buy 1 day, right? So
yeah,
there is an infinite amount of offers you can make if you learn to bundle and unbundle what you have differently. So in my world, like last year, for example, I had four workshops I did that were bestsellers. So I did the four workshop bundle and I sold it all together. Some people couldn't afford it. Then I broke it down to two and two. Then I broke them into one individual workshop. So that's already four individual offers plus the other two bundles. That's six. And then you can go smaller or bigger. So understanding how to package your products into offers is the mindset switch. And bundling and unbundling is the other switch. And then you'll never run out of ideas to sell.
Yeah. So now I'm just thinking, we are repackaging, bundling, or unbundling. Are there signals you're looking out for to say, now is the time to repackage, now is the time to unbundle? So you know how usually, for example, in a launch, let me use a launch as an example, we'll say after the launch period, we do like a downsell. It's like, you couldn't get this, but now you can get this version, right? But that's just during the launch period. Now we're talking about on a daily basis. So how do you know, or how do you pick out when you should be bundling, unbundling? Is it like your analytics or responses?
Yeah. So for me, it's what you said about fatigue in a way, but I see it as intent. If I am selling a high ticket offer, I always treat it as a 1 week sprint. So every week of the month, I'm going to do something else. On the first week of the month, I might do a high ticket offer. And obviously, because it's high ticket, it will fatigue the audience. You know, if it's a $3,000 offer, I can't sell it for more than that because they'll be like, I've heard it, I've heard it, I've heard it. You know, the doors close. Then I might sell a $9 template the second week. And all of a sudden, who I thought was fatigued is waking up and my Stripe transactions are going crazy because I've just gone from a $3,000 offer to a $9 offer. I'm getting many, 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 many more sales. The second week, I might try something for $100 or $500 or whatever. And then the fourth week, I'll bring back even higher ticket or high ticket somewhere else. So that way, in my mind, a buyer is always a buyer, but you have to meet them at the intention that they have today. So if their intention is, let me try for $1, well, I will never know that that intention is present unless I make you an offer for a dollar and you buy it. many people get it wrong. They're like, oh, my offer is $3,000 and I'm not selling anything else. So how much money are you leaving on the table by not offering or checking for your buyer's intention? I get 1,000 people to give me $9 tomorrow, right? $9,000 I never had that I wouldn't know I never had if I didn't make that offer.
That's just amazing. So we are sending daily emails, but does everybody on the list get an email every day? Or, I mean, I know I get an email every day, but I also read like a number of them. So I'm just wondering, do you like segment the emails or everybody's getting an email every day?
I'm a little different in the sense that I email a lot. So in simple terms, think about it without segmentation. Just email everybody. And every week you change the offer. That's the simplest thing. Now, when I have leads, people who never bought, I have customers, people who bought something once off, and I have clients who work with me longer term. As soon as you buy something, you are tagged as a customer. And my mission is to get you from customer to client. But some people are like, no. And they're stubborn. And they're like, I'm never going to be a client. And that's okay. And instead of going, oh, you know what? Kick him out or give up. I will just make you another customer offer so you can become a repeat customer. And I call this the Thank You Next campaign. So IA bought the offer blueprint. You learn how to make offers. And I send you an email as a segment of people who bought the offer blueprint. And I say, people who bought the offer blueprint usually want to know how to get people to their offer. So I have 30 email templates that you can use. And they're the same price as the offer blueprint you just bought. So if you spent $50, now you've just spent another $50. The lifetime value of you as a customer has doubled, right? And then clients, if you literally bought everything, people then stop there and they think, oh, they're a client of mine. It's game over. I go, there is a pool of clients in there who want closer proximity to you. Maybe you're a group coaching student and you want one-on-one. Maybe you're a one-on-one student and you want done-for-you emails. Maybe you're an email done-for-you and you want equity and revenue share. So unless I make you offers horizontally, I never know if you are a client who's willing to spend more. So those people, in essence, get different types of emails. But in my world, my clients tell me not to segment them so they can get all of the emails. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to not segment and send you everything anyway. Because they want the storytelling and all of that.
Yeah, that's definitely awesome. And so let's look at this. What's the most important email marketing metric for you? I feel like it has to be like sales. From everything that we've been talking about. So maybe conversion, but I'm just still curious, what would be the most important email marketing metric for you?
People may not like this, but for me, the most important one is how many sales you make. How many Stripe transactions? I don't care about open rates. I don't care about unsubscribes. I never look at any of that stuff. I look at how many dollars are in your piggy bank. And when you figure that one out, you can then package different offers, rename offers, rebundle the best sellers, right? Just like a rock band, you know, you look at AC/DC, we have Back in Black, we have TNT, you know, we have Thunderstruck. We find the hits when we repackage the same hits, create more money in this case. I used to be obsessed with like metrics and stuff, but for now, that's the only metric.
So what's one myth in email marketing you wish people would stop believing?
Number one, you don't need to send value emails. You can write crazy dog fart emails and make sales. At least I busted that one. Number two, the more emails you send, the more money you make. I have days where I send 11 emails in a day and people hate me for it, but I send 11 emails. Last chance, this, that, doors are closed. I got to tell you because I would feel I'm doing you a disservice if you don't grab it. I used to fear for my life when I did that. It was another myth. I'm trying to see if there's anything else in there. Yeah, I mean, the one with the metrics is a bit. When I talk to email people, they're like, you're crazy. Nurture them and make sure you don't lose them. And I understand that if your email list is doing sponsorships and all sorts of stuff, but if you're a one-person business owner building a brand and you got people, you know, email them, don't shy away. It's the nature of it. They're blessing you when they leave because they're not for you. And you can find other people that are for you.
Definitely. Now, when it comes to one email a day, do you have any takes on deliverability, or do you notice anything different? Maybe you see yourself land more in the primary tab or in the promotions or any of those things.
Yeah, I'm a big nerd when it comes to the technical side of deliverability. I make sure my, you know, SPF, DKIM, all of those records are there. I use tools to make sure that I'm not landing in the spam folder, and they email me every Monday so I can have that data on the technical side. What obviously happens when you email every day, though, is the uncontrolled variable is, can I get you to open my email every day? So my rates have consistently been at about 30% in terms of open rate. And I'm happy about that because I can't expect everyone to open every single email. When you do it daily, just like on social media, if you post every day, people naturally won't see those posts every day. But I'm very happy if a third of my email list is reading somewhat consistently, because then you're selling and it's profitable.
This has been such an amazing conversation and there's so much to take from it. But before we wrap up, I need people to be able to find you, connect with you, and see you do what it is that you do, like see it in action. I mean, I said that I've been seeing the one email every day. At about the same time every day, I just see the notification. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, and it motivates me in my own consistency. So how can we connect with you? Where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn under Jacob Peggs. That's my primary platform, or on Threads and Instagram as most_mojo. Or if you want to get on my email list, it's jacobpeggs.xyz, and I'll make sure to treat you well and make you offers.
And all those links will definitely be in the show notes so that you don't miss it and you can join in and see the one post, one email, one offer system in action, right? There's a lot to learn from it. And now let's talk a bit about Modern Maker. You've had, you know, over 300 plus students. Just tell us a bit about Modern Maker and how people can also join in if they want to.
Yeah, sure. So for me, basically, if you join jacobpeggs.xyz, that's going to sort of guide you into getting a product, which leads to Modern Maker if you want to. But in essence, Modern Maker, I keep things very simple. The engine that we spoke about today has three components, right? You have a Google Doc-based offer, service-based offer that you package. That goes through an engine or a machine, right, that has leads to customers, to clients. I call them snacks. You offer people micro snacks and bigger snacks, and then they become these customers' clients. We install that engine, and then you need to send traffic to that engine organically or with paid acquisition. That's sort of the content piece. So I help people install the Modern Maker operating system, these three parts, inside Modern Maker, the community. So that's the core of it. And then, you know, we meet up weekly. We have daily support. There's a huge community of like 200 people as we speak in there, all building towards this one sort of mission to, you know, work less, earn more, live more. So, yeah.
And that's so great. And I'll also be putting the link to that in the chat. Now, before I ask you to share some final words with us, you had mentioned tools that you use for deliverability that also send you a report. Do you want to share any of your favorite ones with us?
Let me see. I mean, if I'm honest, I just know from Google, but let me fetch it. But it was like the SPF record. For me, it's mostly I use Kit for my emails, and they have a little deliverability score in there. And there's also my domains are on Namecheap. So I plug in the classic Google SPF record and the DKIM record to make sure they're going there. And then I have this little plugin that I'll share with you after that sends me an email every Monday morning to make sure that the deliverables have come.
That's so great. And we really appreciate it. So any final words?
I think for me, in terms of email in general and lifestyle and mindset overall, is more than anything, I always say, I believe in people more than they believe in themselves. But I believe in people more than they believe in themselves, because the strategy is the easy part. The tactical stuff is the easy part. The mindset unlock, you know, also coming from a very middle-class family, growing up the way I did, was you can do whatever you put your mind to, but you got to believe it. Because if you don't believe it, you can have the same playbook as someone else and stay where you are. Think small, be small. But if you manage to, you know, have that dose of belief, then everything is possible. And I know that sounds cheesy and all of it, but all of it is just a mathematical equation backwards into the actions that can get you there.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. It has been an amazing joy having you on the podcast today. I mean, there's a lot that we're going to take away from this, because it has been so practical. And this is what email marketing is about. Email marketing experiments is about the fact that you can think it, you can test it, and you can share it. If you didn't even come up with these ideas and try it out, we won't be here to, you know, talk about it, look into your process. Thank you so much for sharing with us, for joining us on the podcast. All the links, guys, all the links will be in the show notes. Don't forget to connect with Jacob, follow on Instagram, Threads, LinkedIn, and most importantly, join the email list so you get one email every day. I promise you, you will find it super interesting and amazing. Till next time, let's not forget to think it, test it, and share it. Bye, Jacob, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
All right.